Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And welcome to another edition of Superman's Other Pals, a podcast where I, Gary Roland, discuss the Silver Age comic book Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen with my daughter,
Ella Plum Roland.
And together we depth the plums.
Nope.
And check stuff out.
Yes, but...
No depthing plums?
No depthing plums, partially because that's not the correct order of the words.
All right, so before we get started, I want to...
Announce
that, as we had stated previously, this week, we have identified the winner of our DC slogan contest. It took a lot of, we went through all of the submissions. It took a lot of...
Time and effort
on our part, sure. We have identified, we would like to thank all of the people who contributed. And now we're going to announce the winner of the DC slogan contest.
All right.
And this is a person who came up with a slogan promoting DC Comics.
Yep.
15 words or less.
No profanity.
Pertaining to DC Comics. Not my brother Mike.
Sorry, Uncle Mike.
And this is a person who is someone who I presume listens to us.
Hopefully.
So this person is the kind of person who writes things. They submitted to us on Twitter. And any minute now, I will be announcing who that person is. That person being the person who has won the DC Comics slogan contest. And we are now in that place where we have reviewed all of the entries, narrowed it down to our primary selections, and from that selection of primary selections, whittled it down even further to a second round of primary selections. And then thirdly...
I'm just going to wait for him to be done.
Whittled it down, continued to a third and fourth, and it was a lot of coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
There was a lot of yelling.
I don't
and
typically
and throwing
a
of
whole
things,
lot.
Expressing...
I never throw stuff.
Expressing our frustration at why the other person won't see the beauty. And just to let everybody know, this person will be the winner of the grand prize, which is a packet of seeds, a greeting card, a Steven Credit Sale style sign that is framed that says, this
robot
is trained to smash your camera, a Jimmy Olsen bow tie, and a tin of Cloverine salve.
Which we have now.
I have now determined what Cloverine salve is. And
that's a secret.
Not really. It's just petroleum jelly. That's all it says. It says it right on the box. It's Vaseline. But before,
it's not Vaseline.
Before
it's Cloverine
salve. Right, before it was Vaseline, it was Cloverine.
All
right. And the person who is winning that thing, get ready, because we are about to announce that person. And the person is a person who we don't know what their name is. We only know their Twitter handle. So this person will remain a mystery to us.
What if it's Uncle Mike?
Better not be. I know his address. I know his work and home address, so I'll be able to figure it out. So that person is the listener.
Hopefully.
Who is named simply by one word, and that word is a word that is actually two words put together into one word.
I feel like you're trying to get me to say the word.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I am, that person is... Well, why don't I just say it? You know, I'll just come right out and I will just say the word.
We're on a tight schedule this morning.
His name is TARDIS Rider.
There we go.
TARDIS Rider.
Finally.
Who's came up with the DC slogan, DC Comics. Read them with your pals. Remember them forever.
Finally.
DC Comics. Read them with your pals. Remember them forever. All right. So TARDIS Rider, we will be in touch with questions about how to
give you the prize.
You know, if you live in the LA area, perhaps we'll drop it off, or maybe not. Anyway, so that is the winner. Congratulations to TARDIS Rider, and stay tuned. Maybe there'll be another contest someday.
Yep.
Or after the stunning success of this one. All right, so we get to the comic book. Issue 30 of Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen. We start, as we always start, with the cover.
Dad, I can't see it. Thank you.
All right, so it says...
Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen. August edition.
Number 30.
10 cents.
So since it's in August, as we all know, well, we don't really all know, but as a rule...
That is when it was taken off the shelves,
right?
Not put on the
exactly.
Shelves.
So this was probably released in June, which makes sense considering how some of how one of these stories particularly goes off. In this issue, we see Superman holding a robe that has the Superman logo on it with a box that says "To Dad Superman from Jimmy," and Superman is using his heat vision to destroy the robe. And Superman says, "Jimmy, this gift you got me for Father's Day makes me sorry I ever adopted you as my son. I'll have to destroy it to teach you a lesson." And Jimmy's going, "But Superman, I mean, Dad, what did I do wrong?"
That is very different from your typical Jimmy Olsen impression.
It's true.
Why?
I don't know.
Just cause?
It's early.
Okay. Yeah, but you did that last time, too.
So, this morning, it is morning, and I think we'll actually be releasing this the exact same day.
Yep.
This was actually going to go at a later time, but I was dumb and screwed up the recording. So, the inside, so, I have to say that this is an issue that is fraught with subtext, and not so subtext, just, you know, plain text.
Okay. Oh, and you learn a very important thing about Jimmy, but it also raises about 105 more questions.
Yes. Okay, so let's just continue to get to it. Now, on the inside, we've now recently, this is the original of the "Hey, scrawny kid, become a He-Man by building yourself up, and don't forget about your grip." George Jewett, champion, wants you to gain 50 pounds of mighty muscle, and not just by, like, eating food.
I don't think you just gain mighty muscle by eating food.
Well, eat beef. Isn't all meat, like, basically muscle tissue? So you can, like, go to the store, get 50 pounds of beef, and you have theoretically just gained 50 pounds of muscle. And if that's not true out there, please write it on a parchment and have your herald deliver it. Or owl. You know, that's for my daughter, who is a fan of the Harry Potter. She's a Ravenclaw. All right.
That was the most random place to put that.
Huh? So that brings us to the first story.
Which Dad's going to read because he really wants to read this one.
What orphan boy wouldn't leap at the chance to be adopted by a super father like Superman? What thrills and proud moments would the foster father of steel bring to such a lucky youngster? Well, Jimmy Olsen may have a startling answer for you about life with Superman, but you will never guess the outcome of what should be a super happy family relationship when the Cub Reporter becomes the son of Superman. So, in the opening panel, we see Jimmy and Superman. And Superman is doing the dishes
with super speed and heat vision.
Right. He's washing them with his super hands. And as he's throwing them into the, these must be plastic plates, by the way, or else if they were like porcelain, they would like chip like mad.
Yes.
So as he tosses the plates into the cabinet, he's using his heat vision to dry them, which I have to say is, I don't think I would have thought of that as a way to do it, but I'm glad he did.
It's very creative.
And it says, there's a thing on the wall that says,
"Bless our super home."
Notice it doesn't say "God bless."
Just "bless."
Right. Separation of church and state. Which I don't really think plays into this. All right. So Superman says, "Hey, relax, Jimmy. I'll do the dishes at super speed. What would you like to do tomorrow for your birthday?" And Jimmy's there going, "Take me on a flying trip around the world, Dad. Gosh, it's great to have a super father like you."
Can I have your old Jimmy Olsen impression back?
I don't know.
Yes. The answer is yes. That was obnoxious and it hurt my ears.
All right. Well, maybe. So, okay. So our story starts with the Daily Planet having its annual
father-son picnic.
Father-son picnic. And everybody is there with their
games,
fathers.
With races and party.
Everybody's there with their fathers except for Jimmy.
Who?
Okay, so this is something that we have always kind of wondered about.
You know how we've been being like, why does he have his own house?
Right.
We've
wondered, like, we're like, why doesn't anybody ever mention Jimmy's family? What has happened to Jimmy's family? Does anybody know? And, like, does anybody know? Like, you know, we never hear about his father. We never really know how old he is. Okay,
well,
so
it turns out he's an orphan.
Yes. He says, you know, somebody goes, "Hey, didn't you bring your dad, Jimmy Olsen?" And Jimmy Olsen goes, I can't. I'm an orphan. I have no father.
Then why are you at the father-son picnic?
That is the other thing. That's certainly something that begs the question. If this is a kid who doesn't have a father...
Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but, like, that would just make him sad.
Right. Would it just be, like, I don't know, is there some kind of, like...
Just sad.
I don't know. Is there some kind of, like his father went away and said, son, I don't worry, I will meet you at a father and son picnic after you become a cub reporter.
I doubt that.
I don't know.
I doubt that.
And, yeah, like, so what happened to Jimmy's parents? Anyway, so this is, like, okay, so.
So now we know why he doesn't live in his parents' house.
Right.
However, we don't know if that apartment was his parents' house.
Right.
We don't know if he's ever been in the foster care system or in a group home or an orphanage.
Right. So far as we know, he hasn't.
We also don't know how old he was when they passed away
a Daily Planet newsboy. So we don't know if when he was selling newspapers for the Daily Planet, was he actually an orphan then, just living on the street, or what?
Yep.
Don't know.
No.
So although we have this little bit of information, it has now opened up, like, a ton of additional information.
We still don't know how old this guy is.
Right. So, then, next thing, in flies Superman, and hearing Jimmy talking about how he doesn't have a father, Superman says, "Yes, you have, Jimmy. For years, you have seen almost like a son to me. Why not let me be your official foster father?" And Jimmy.
So how old is this guy?
Jimmy says, "Holy cow, you mean you'll adopt me as Superman?" So Jimmy Olsen decides that, you know, so Jimmy Olsen is adopted by Superman. And, okay, so if I'm not mistaken, when you're adopted, like, you have to be, like, under, like, 18.
Yeah, because 18 is legal adults.
Right.
So.
Although, you know, maybe because it's the 1950s.
It could be the 21.
It could be the 21. But if he is under 18... shouldn't he be in school?
Yes.
Why isn't he in school?
They kicked him out for being too irrational.
Why? Like, there are so many. It's, again, it just asks, it just enters so many questions. And, like, so if he's under 18 and he's living, like, why does he have a job? Does nobody say, "Hey, Jimmy, maybe you should be in school"?
Nope. I think he's, like, lying about his age or something.
Maybe, or maybe it is, like, 21 and he's, you know, trying to figure it out. You know, he's, like, in that place where he's just become a cub reporter. But international correspondent cub reporter who can fly a helicopter.
Yep.
So, putting that poor Jumbo Jones out of business. Sometimes I think Jumbo Jones is sitting in his own apartment, a one-room apartment, just smoking and cursing Jimmy Olsen. Maybe someday he'll become a villain, and we'll see.
I doubt that.
The Revenge of Jumbo Jones.
I doubt that.
You mark my words. Maybe he's Metallo.
We may never know.
No, actually, we will know, because all we have to do is look it up, and he'll tell you who Metallo was. I don't know off the top of my head who it is.
I don't think it was Jumbo Jones.
I don't think it was either.
All right, so Superman is now Jimmy's official foster father, so they go and participate in all the father-son game activities.
Right, so...
And they win in all of them.
Right, because he's Superman. So in the three-legged race,
that's like cheating.
Yeah, it really is.
That's cheating.
Or, like, you know, at that point when Superman shows up, why doesn't everybody just go, "All right, you get it, we get it, stop it. Can you please stop embarrassing us all?" And, like, so the funny thing is, there's one where he just smacks a baseball out of the park. Okay. There's another one where he does the three-legged race with Jimmy, and he springs, he leaps, because, of, as we all know, Superman can leap tall buildings in a single bound. But yeah. This one in the middle, where he's just bending an I-beam across his neck, where it just says, "Special Strongman Act by Superman." Well, that's just basically a screw you to every other father.
Yep.
Like every other kid.
It's also so random.
Every other kid's just like, "Oh man, my dad can't crush steel I-beams."
And Jimmy's just like, "That's my dad."
Right, which, okay, yes.
My dad is better than all of your dads.
So what we find out is that Superman has now rented a house for him and Jimmy.
For the month.
Or Jimmy and he. Him. And if anybody does know the proper way to do that.
Jimmy and himself.
Right. No.
Yeah?
No. Never. Himself isn't really a thing. It's only... It's either going to be he or him, and if anybody out there knows, please write it down on a piece of paper, crumple it up, and throw it away, because they don't care. All right,
it's
so
him.
He then says, "Okay, I have this Okay, so Superman's like, I provided this home for you,
but
I have this secret room. And in this secret room is where I keep all the stuff about my identity. And you can never go in there.
And Jimmy, being the most impulsive person in any universe, raises his right hand and says, I promise.
Never to look in that room until it is, until the 30-day trial is over.
Yep.
So what we find out is now that he's like his foster son, I will also say that this is, I'm not quite sure if this is doing wonders or terrible things by setting a bar too high for being a foster parent. Is it an amazing thing? Because, you know, as we all know, Superman was a foster child. And
yes.
Now he is giving back and becoming a foster parent. Now, is
that... I feel
that...
like he should be a foster parent to someone who actually needs a foster parent and who doesn't live on his own with a full-time job.
Clearly, Jimmy needs it on his own because he is an orphan. But the other thing is just like, so is it really great because, you know, this like monolithic, iconic character has taken time to mentor a youth? Or is it setting a bar so incredibly high, you know, that nobody could live up to? That like, you know, so like a foster father is like, you know, I could never be Superman, so why would I even bother?
Well, we all know it's impossible to be Superman.
Well, sure.
So...
Exactly. That's the thing.
But for the moment, he's setting a good example. For the moment.
Okay.
Being the
operator. All right. So Superman decides, okay, so now that you're gone, now that you're going to be my son, you get to go to...
The Fortress of Solitude.
Which is Superman's giant place where he gets to hang out. But not only does he get to hang out there,
Superman basically just has a giant clubhouse.
He does. It's basically, yeah, his own giant clubhouse.
Yeah.
And it's filled with the cool souvenirs that he doesn't give to Jimmy.
Yep.
Like an animal that only eats big diamonds.
It's a giant pink space turtle with opposable thumbs.
Right. And we don't know where he got this from, who takes care of this turtle, diamond eating turtle, when he's not around, which is probably very often. So then we have another guy. We have
a sculpture
from what humans will look like in the world 1 million AD, which is an empty sculpture because we will all kill ourselves in a by destroying our environment. No. In this case, we'll have huge bulbous heads and wear togas.
Yep.
And then there's a case with all the giant tools that
he used to build the fortress.
Yes. These are all, but you know what I don't see? A plunger. The toilet in the Fortress of Solitude will get stuck, inevitably, by his super poop. I'm sorry, I'm really enjoying me.
I'm the teenager, and he's the one who made the poop joke.
Dad joke!
No,
all right.
That's not a dad joke!
Oh, yeah, sure it is. And now, there's a mural.
A giant mural that looks really more like a tableau.
Well, either way, it's a giant mural that Superman has made, and he saw a super through his super telescope that a sun was blowing up, and he created
an entire solar system.
Right, which so at this point he's a guy who can build a solar system. How is it that anybody thinks that they could possibly take down Superman? He's a god. He's creating his own worlds in his image.
But Batman has batarangs and like 12 orphans.
Right. And he can CrossFit. Right. Because, yes, he probably does that salmon ladder thing there. He could probably really do that salmon ladder thing up that Arrow does.
Yep.
Yes. So, you know, yes, in Batman v Superman, we were, you know.
What we've learned is that if you CrossFit, you are powerful enough to defeat a god.
Right. You'll be powerful enough to defeat somebody who can make his own solar system. So
So all of the people in that new solar system are so grateful that they named almost everything of importance after him. So I feel like it would be very difficult to go anywhere because everything has the same name.
Right. And also, I don't remember this story, so I don't know. And it doesn't say what issue it happened in.
It just says it happened.
Right. It just says it happened. Like, and including rekindling a sun.
Yep. CrossFit.
Right. Right. This is like super CrossFit. And so Superman's like, all right, I'm going to check on something. Why don't you hang out and play with this gun that shoots lightning bolts?
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. What? One, why would Superman need a gun that shoots lightning bolts?
Sure, a valid question. It's probably part of his just collection of things that he's picked up over the universe.
Okay. Well, it's smart to not give this to Jimmy just straight away. However, many things in there are incredibly rare or one of a kind and probably breakable.
Oh, wait.
And lightning is very dangerous.
He says special gun I made.
Why do you need to make a lightning gun?
I don't know. He just, you know what? He just likes to tinker.
Okay. So, lightning is very dangerous.
Yes.
Jimmy is a very impulsive person.
Yes.
Many of the things in there are extremely breakable and rare or one of a kind.
Yes.
Why are you giving Jimmy this?
I don't know.
This is a very stupid decision.
Why can't he just let him, like, play with the big penny?
Because Batman has the big penny, and you know that.
It's true. I do. I looked it up. And if you ever get the opportunity,
out the story behind the big penny.
The reason why he has.
However, this is a podcast devoted to the Superman aspect of the DC.
But I will touch on this briefly. Okay. So the reason why he has the big penny was because he fought a villain
called Penny Pincher.
You know the villain Penny Pincher that we are all aware of.
Nope.
And he just threw pennies at people. It's so, like, he is such a crappy superhero that he didn't even show up in, like, one of the gag, like, one of the more lighthearted Batmans, like Batman Brave and the Bold, or like, you know, any part, any of the, like, Batmite doesn't even mess around with Penny Pincher, whose power was...
He threw pennies at people.
He threw pennies at people, and...
Not even exploding pennies,
nope.
Or sharpened pennies,
nope.
Or larger pennies.
Just pennies.
Just pennies.
And, like, I think this is an example of, like, yeah, the lamest hero creating the most lasting image.
You mean villain?
Right,
you
I'm sorry.
Saying hero.
I'm sorry. The crappiest hero the crappiest villain... creating a completely, like, lasting image that we will all be kind of stunned by. You know, and as far as I know, I think they actually erased him in the continuity of the DC universe. And if anybody knows that, of course.
Illuminated parchment.
Sent by your herald or owl. Or just email us and we'll tell you where to send it.
A falcon would be nice as well.
Sure. All right. So... As we all know, Superman goes to checks on something, comes
he
back.
He checks on a computer.
He comes
sort.
Back and he snatches the lightning gun out of his hand and says, "Hey, you should know to use better thing. You should know better than to use things without my permission." Well, and Jimmy says, "Huh, but I did. You did give me permission." And he's like, "Don't contradict me." And then he becomes like a super jerk.
He yells at Jimmy for not keeping good care of the souvenirs.
Right, he makes him polish stuff, he makes him do dishes and chores, and he becomes
he
like...
He also makes him stay home from the adventures that he wants to go on. He even takes his super watch to give to Lois Lane.
Right, hubba hubba. I'm probably going to take that out, because I'm sure that's super gross for the audience.
Yeah.
All right, so, and then one day, Superman's like, "Hey, this door is open, I bet you looked in to see what my secret identity is." And Jimmy's like, "No, I did not." And it says, "A likely story, son. If I catch you in here again, it'll go hard with you." First of all, horrible subtext. And then secondly, okay, so this is an age where it was very common for children to be spanked.
However, this is Superman.
Yeah, that would be really, really terrible if he decided to be spanked by Superman. So Jimmy gets the idea. "Hey, I got a great idea.
Tomorrow is Father's Day.
I will get Father's Day robe. I'll get a Father's Day robe, put Superman thing on it, and he'll love it." So he does get it, and he gets it, and then Superman goes, "Hey, the emblem's crooked, and the colors don't match my costume.
I would never wear this."
And he uses his heat vision to destroy his Father's Day gift.
And Jimmy's just really sad at this point.
Yeah, he's...
As he should be.
Right. Like, his dad has become a super-duper jerk. It's amazing. So it's like, so what we find out, so what happens is Jimmy then goes to the court and says,
"I need to terminate this adoption."
Yeah, that it's just not working out. And this is, you know, this is terrible. So the judge says he has no choice but to declare the trial adoption void as of June 16th. And there can be no second chance for you two. Case dismissed. Which is a very important part, because it doesn't say, "Hey, you can try this again." Which is, of course, ridiculous. Of course he could try again. He's friggin' Superman.
The law disagrees.
So, a double jeopardy, I guess? I don't know. not a crime. Anyway, so as soon as they're out, Superman sweeps him up, takes him to the Fortress of Solitude, and tells him that there is this supercomputer that he has that evaluates data and predicts calamity. It's all Minority Report-y.
Hmm?
Minority Report was a movie about where in the future they could predict who was going to become a criminal and
kill them.
Well, arrest them before they got anything taken care of, before they, anything happened.
Okay.
But then it turned out to not be true, but that's another story for another day. That will not be told on this story because it's not Superman related. So the machine says on June 17th, Superman will destroy his own son. And so Superman gets all freaked out. He's like, oh, no, I've got to make him not my son so I don't destroy him. And then Jimmy says, hey, dummy.
He's not talking about me, son. He's talking about the
son. The son that you created.
S-U-N, son.
Remember when you told me about that thing you created? Well, that solar system you created? They mean that son. And then Jimmy, of course, Superman goes, oh.
Yep.
Didoy. So now, through this misunderstanding, this Molierian misunderstanding, he can now never adopt Jimmy Olsen ever again. And this is why, at no point in time in the entire oeuvre of all of Jimmy Olsen's story, Superman never adopts Jimmy. Because of this one dumb...
They certainly would have forgotten that. There are other reasons.
Because of this one dumb episode where he couldn't get his homonyms right, apparently not having a super understanding of grammar.
Homophones.
Get these homophones together. And yet, he can create his own son.
That's why he was defeated by CrossFit.
And then Superman then says, all right, well, I'll just get rid of this house and move you back to your apartment.
And everything will be fine.
He's then I'll fix the sun.
And he's like, okay, well, I'm sorry that I can't be your dad. And Jimmy's like, oh, even if I'm not your son, I'll still be your boy pal. And then Superman says, nothing will ever change that, Jimmy. I don't know. Boy pal? The subtext in being his boy pal is...
We are aware of the subtext.
Is too great. His boy pal?
We are aware of the subtext.
All right. So that is the end of the first story.
Okay.
Next, do you want spending money? Sell these popular, patriotic, and religious mottos, even though none of the ones that we are showing you are actually patriotic.
Right. But they are, you know, so they talk about mothers and child's prayers and the way of the cross and God bless... this home. So, you know, and so basically, yes, as we all know, or if you've listened to this show for any length of time, because it ends up in every episode.
Well, not every episode. I think there might have been one, but it was definitely in the first episode.
That you write to Steven's Credit Sales. They give you a big stack of these things. You bother everyone that you know to buy one, and then you get to keep the money that's afterwards.
You get 10 cents for every one that you sell.
Right. 25 cents, keep 250, 30,
$4.
That would be better. That would be even more. So, Steven's Credit Sales.
Next, we have
Wanted a Pal. So, there's this guy. His name's Bob. And he sees this kid. And his name is Frankie. And Bob goes, hey, what's the matter, Frankie? And then Frankie says, oh, I haven't got any real close friends. And Bob's like, oh, come on, Frankie. I always see you with a crowd. And Frankie says that, you know, yes, he has a crowd, but he doesn't really have anybody that he feels
like he can talk to.
Exactly. And then Bob says, I know what you mean. I went through the same thing myself until one summer when I was on the same farm as Jerry, which is a very, very Brokeback Mountain-y scenario. Do you know about Brokeback
Mm-mm.
Mountain? Okay, well, Brokeback Mountain is a mountain about
it's a mountain.
No, it's a story about two guys who spend an entire summer just like tending sheep on a mountain. And then one day they realize a budding homosexual relationship emerges. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they have to like deal with the social political ramifications of that. And that's essentially this scenario. And so he's like, hey, yeah, you know, he was my friend and we got to do all these crazy things together. We went biking and fishing with our hats. And
with our hats.
They're wearing hats.
They are wearing abnormally large straw hats.
And in the no other scene do they have straw hats on.
So he's basically saying, hey, I've got my friend. Screw you. He doesn't go, Frankie, I'll be your friend. No, nothing like that. He just goes, hey, you know what? You're right. You should be bummed. Having like one of those friends is great.
And then Frankie, I guess, feels better.
I guess.
And then it's published as a public service announcement in cooperation with the National Social Welfare Assembly, coordinating organization for national welfare.
Yep, welfare.
Health, welfare, and recreation agencies of the U.S. Cha-cha-cha.
All right, so then we have Casey the cop. Casey is a very overweight, balding cop, and there's a police car officer that has a police car that goes on, and he goes, quick, follow that car.
And then this guy, who doesn't really look like he should be doing these things, does like this cool thing where he rides on the running boards of this other car instead of getting in. There's no time.
So instead of jumping in the car with him, he rides the running boards. But it turns out that all he's doing is going to
the
police and fire department picnic. And then we have Shorty. And Shorty is apparently apparently promised these two little kids, these Shortiers, that they were all going to go on a picnic together. And Shorty's like, we can't go on a picnic. And then the kids are like, eh. So what he does, he takes them to a movie that has trees, grass, and blue sky. Which brings us to our next story. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Do you want to read this one?
I'm trying to remember what the next one is. Yeah, I'll read this one.
Okay, we're pressed for time, so I'm not going to,
do the crazy introduction thing.
Nope.
Yeah, because he's still going to do this
one. Right. Go ahead.
It was the worst day in cub reporter Jimmy Olsen's life. First came a menace from the skies, then one from the past, and then still others. All of them real, and all of them false alarms to Superman until, at the final moment, abandoned by the Man of Steel, Jimmy finds himself in the helpless position of the cub who cried wolf.
So, we see our first panel. We see three giant ants, and Superman and Jimmy Olsen are saying, Jimmy's saying, hey, why did I signal you for help? Did you expect me to tackle those insect monsters alone? Which is,
seems like it's wrong.
Like the way it was said?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Superman says, insect monsters? Where? All I see is an empty street. I don't know what's going on.
Except there are three giant ants.
We see them, but no one else does, apparently. So Perry White is saying, hey, you've written this book that really blows the lid on this gang. They don't even say what gang it is.
Correct.
Oh, no, sorry. The Bedon?
Bedon.
Yes, the Bedon gang. And Jimmy's like, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine. And so he's like, maybe. So,
okay, I have a question.
Perry White offers, just quickly. Perry White offers Jimmy the ability to store the manuscript in
the fancy pants safe.
Right. But Jimmy's like, nope, I got it. Go ahead.
Which is dumb. So his reasoning for the criminal gang not willing to come after him is that he has the super secret super signal watch. However, it seems that it's no longer a secret.
It's true.
When did that happen?
Not sure.
Okay.
I mean, I know that there was that one issue. There was that one story where
some guy figured it out, and I guess he just broadcast it to the entire underworld.
Yes,
and everyone.
That could be exactly what has happened. All right.
Okay. So.
All right. Okay. Wait. Before we start, I just want to let the listeners know that we have now checked in between. Basically, we had to cut things short a little bit because I had to take my daughter to school. But in that time.
It began to rain.
It began to rain, so you might hear rain. I will try to mitigate that in post as much as possible. And also, I looked two things up.
Okay.
One, it is possible to adopt an adult.
Okay.
And the second is, it's not the penny pincher, it's the penny plunderer.
Okay.
The guy who made the giant penny.
Once again, a Batman villain.
Right. Penny plunderer. However, in the second, one of the reboots, I think the most recent reboot, they actually tied the giant penny to Two-Face, or they tried to, but they didn't also bring in the penny plunderer, and they killed him. So,
did he try to steal the giant penny?
Still lasting memory of a thing.
That no one remembers.
Well, no. Lasting memory of a penny that nobody, lasting image of, the penny, the giant penny in the Batcave that everybody knows about, but nobody knows where it came from.
Okay. So, back to where we left off.
Right. So, where we left off was...
Super safe.
Super safe. He says no. I'm Jimmy Olsen. I can summon Superman. I'll be fine.
Which is dumb, once again.
And so, he starts to drive home. And once again, bringing into question, how old is Jimmy?
Clearly, either 16 or older.
Right. So, as he's driving home, there's this weird glowing thing and this...
And a giant rocket ship and then a giant space ant.
Right. A giant space ant comes out of a giant rocket and he says, I've got a sick or dying friend and to get it, we need 1,000...
Four-leaf clovers.
Four-leaf clovers. Can you help me? And Jimmy Olsen says, yeah, that's going to be really hard, but I know who can help. And
Superman!
So he summons Superman and Superman shows up.
And is like, what are you doing?
Right. He's like,
why have you called me here?
First, he's like, okay, 1,000. Okay, I'll get them. Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, it's these insects. And they're like,
What insects?
I don't what? Huh? Well, maybe they turn themselves invisible. They're an alien race. We don't know. And then after that, an eagle happens to fly by Jimmy's window and drops an enormous cantaloupe-sized ruby.
I have a question.
I'm sure that you do.
Question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. One, why is there a bald eagle in the middle of Metropolis?
I don't know. Maybe it is a place where that's a thing. We just don't know.
Dad?
Yes?
I can't hear myself in the thing anymore.
Well, I can see you.
Okay.
So you're still good.
Okay. So, then I'm going to take these off.
Okay.
Okay. So, also, where's this eagle getting a giant freaking ruby that's the size of a cantaloupe and, like, fully cut?
Don't know. Has no idea. But, you know, so he sees the ruby rolling into a,
gutter.
Into a gutter. And so he's like, hey, I'll call Superman. He'll get it out for me. Now, why he doesn't actually, like, stand next to the ruby and call him, we don't know. So he comes back and he's like, there's no ruby. What are you talking about? Maybe you're overtired. Maybe you should go see a doctor.
Yep, because being overtired means you hallucinate and see a bald eagle drop a ruby the size of a cantaloupe into a gutter.
That happens. No, it doesn't. But, like, people have been known to hallucinate. Like, if you stay up for, like, several days, although I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure Jimmy's been working that hard.
Yeah, no. All right.
So he's then driving out in his car again, and he sees a prehistoric scene where there's
a dinosaur that's trying to eat him.
And cavemen.
Who, I have a problem with that.
Why?
Because cavemen and dinosaurs didn't exist at the same time.
Yes, but neither did Superman.
Yeah, but Superman can time travel.
Yes, obviously you've never read Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth.
I haven't. I don't know why you would have expected me to.
I don't think you had, but, or Devil Dinosaur.
Nope.
Both about, I think, both people who live in the time of dinosaurs, although I think it's different time, not dinosaur times. But, you know, they did this all the time, that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time in 1950.
1950s science and logic is weird.
Yes. You're not wrong.
Okay, so Jimmy freaks out, calls Superman, and Superman's like, okay, let's hope that this is really important because I'm in the middle of a show right now.
Right, because he's doing some kind of performance for
early bird special.
Some people. I don't know. So he shows up, and there's nobody.
And Jimmy apparently was unconscious. And so Superman, instead of being like, oh, he's just unconscious, he didn't mean anything.
And so
he's like, how dare you?
He says, he actually calls him an idiot. He actually calls Jimmy an idiot. He's like, Superman, a little longer and we'd have been finished. Either of those cavemen or the giant reptiles. How'd you find me? Cavemen, giant reptiles. Why? You idiot. And so he gets really mad and he flies off and he's like, don't bother me again. But so here's the thing. Jimmy has hallucinated before. There have been times when, like, people have done stuff like this to him.
Caused by stuff that Superman gave Jimmy.
Right. Like, there's all these things that could be. Like, there could be hallucinations going on. Like, why doesn't Superman just think, this could be one of those things? We need to be paying attention to stuff.
So Jimmy is dejected and so goes home.
And there he finds...
The gang.
The gang.
That he wrote a book about.
The aforementioned gang, whose name escapes me at the moment. But they're like, all right, you better hand over that manuscript.
I have a slight problem with this.
Go ahead.
Why would he write about a gang that's still at large?
People do that all the time.
Yeah, but like...
They read,
they know where he lives.
They write tell-all books all the time.
Yeah, but like...
You know, there are like guys from the mob.
There are people actively going for, like, actively trying to get Jimmy Olsen.
There have been like mob informants who've written books. Like guys in the mob who've written books about the people around them, what horrible people they are. The mob actually puts a hit out on them. And, they just sort of disappear into the background.
Yes, well, he can't disappear.
Well, he could.
Clearly he can't, because nobody else in Metropolis has bright red hair.
He could disappear. He just chooses not to. He doesn't want to live in fear. He would rather...
Well, for him, that's a stupid decision.
He'd rather die on his feet than live on his knees.
Yeah, he's going to be dying a lot.
Well, so the guys, they tie him up.
And they confiscate his signal watch.
Actually, they don't.
They don't. They don't confiscate his signal watch. I always get that mixed up.
They put the signal watch in. So he starts to... He just basically leans on
the button. He cooperates.
He leans on the button, figuring that eventually Superman is going to show up and rescue him. But... Superman is mad at Jimmy. Now, in the past...
Morse code has been used?
Yes. Morse code has been used. And if he said, he said that, Criminal gang I wrote about is now at my apartment, ransacking it, making me hallucinate, and trying to kill me. Then he would be like, "Oh, all right, that makes sense now." And so,
but instead,
because Superman is so angry after the whole idiot incident, that he just sort of ignores it, tries to ignore it, and then is like hanging out with a bunch of kids, and the kids. So finally, he's like, "I gotta go." He's like, "I'm sorry, you guys are great. I love you guys, but I gotta go.
Because someone is being annoying."
And he says he has a headache. Which is weird because, Superman. When does Superman ever have a headache?
When the super secret signal has been going on for too long.
So he goes out and he figures out, okay. So this all makes sense. And then he rescues him, and then...
The end.
And then the end.
And then the criminals go to jail.
And now we have Honey in Hollywood.
Which is new.
Honey in Hollywood. This started last time. This might be the third one.
Hmm.
But Honey is an actress in Hollywood just trying to get by. And she runs into while working on a film, she is a director who says, "You've got to let out a long, hard scream."
And so she practices.
Because nobody knows how to scream. And so
practices.
She practices for 2 hours at least.
And then comes in the next day.
And says, "I can't talk. My throat is sore from practicing screaming."
She has to say this in a note, by the way.
She writes it in a note.
She's also got a scarf wrapped around her neck and is like clutching her neck.
Which is the universal symbol of I've got a... Much like tying
a rag around your face.
Right. Much like tying a rag around your head to signify that you have a toothache.
Or putting that weird ice bag on your head to signify that you have a fever.
That is the putting of a scarf around your throat is the universal symbol of...
Sore throat.
Of I can't talk.
Warming up your throat wouldn't really make it feel any better.
Maybe
would
it would. We don't know. All right.
Okay.
So then we have Palisades Park. Palisades Amusement Park, New Jersey, in Palisades, New Jersey. And coupon. You can't use it. But
sadly,
it is worth 65 cents. You get a free ride on the Caterpillar and a free ride on the jet plane. Apparently, the Cuddle Tunnel didn't work out quite the same way that they wanted to.
Or maybe they just figured that no one reading this comic book would have a girlfriend.
Now that's a terrible stereotype.
Well, what else? They have literally put so many stereotypical things in here that one more and I'm the bad guy.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to stick up for the nerd geek population. And that is, I do not consider myself a geek or a nerd. That is something that can be left up to argument.
He is.
People can say that. I always just considered myself geek or nerd friendly. I can engage, I can talk, but I don't... I think my difference is I just don't have...
You don't have the collectible action figures?
Correct. And I have no interest in a lot of the trappings of nerd geek culture. I just happen to have a bunch of the knowledge. I've been to many conventions.
Uh-huh.
I've been to science fiction conventions,
mm-hmm.
which actually predate
Comic-Con.
Comic book conventions.
Yeah.
Which used to be two separate things, and now they're all kind of lumped together.
They are.
Although I'm sure now we're going to get angry parchment sent to us by irate owls. That tell us that
Probably
can tell me
Uncle Mike too.
That can tell me exactly what the difference is and how they are completely separate cultures, and that I am just generalizing. But I will say this. At any convention that I've ever been to, the amount of hooking up that goes on boggles the mind.
Yes, however, they are marketing this to children my age and younger.
That's true. I just want to speak up for just a moment. I know that, like, everybody likes to make a joke about how, you know, geeky...
I am aware of
how geeky
of
nerds
whole,
can't find women to engage in romantic activities with them. I am just tired of it, and I would just like to say that they are often hookup fests, and... Many the female geek population has intensified much past just like the model who is paid to be booth bait at a convention. End of rant. Moving on. So we are at Ollie, and then so
they're going golfing.
They're going golfing, and Ollie has brought a funnel with him. And his friend says, "Hey, why do you got a funnel?" And he's like, "You'll see." And they once they get on the green, Ollie busts out his funnel. And he uses it to be better at putting. I don't think
that's cheating.
Don't think that's approved by the PGA.
That's cheating.
I would say that. And now, Chucklebox.
They've replaced the two pages of words with one page of useless words.
Instead of telling you about the history of pretzels, they've decided to replace it with lame jokes. Late jokes like this one. Man, I want some cigars. Clerk, fairly strong. Man, yes, please. The ashes kept breaking off on the last ones I bought.
These aren't funny.
Wifey, darling, this hat only costs $20. Goodbye. Hubby, yes, goodbye to $20.
Let her have the hat.
Dumb Dan says, mushrooms always grow in damp places, and so they look like umbrellas.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's the kind of thing that you would find in a Jimmy Olsen comic in the 1950s. These are ones that were that weren't good enough to make it to Bazooka Joe.
God. Okay.
All right, so now...
Final story.
Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
Final story.
One day in Metropolis, Jimmy Olsen is shocked to hear of a broken friendship between Clark Kent and Superman. But little does he know how truly incredible this is, since Clark Kent is simply Superman in another guise. Yet you will see the impossible happen before your very eyes as Clark and Superman break up. And this riddle reaches an even more astounding climax when Clark Kent becomes Superman's greatest enemy. So in the first panel, we see Jimmy Olsen and a cake that says happy anniversary, Superman. And
on the desk of Clark Kent.
The reason why we know it's Clark Kent is because it says, there's a little card that says, Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
It doesn't say mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
It might as well.
It doesn't.
But it might as well. It just says, okay, it just says reporter. But, so Superman's flying in the window, and Jimmy seems to have gotten a thing of kryptonite.
He's like, get away!
Go back, Superman! Clark Kent hit a chunk of kryptonite in the cake. He wants to destroy you! So the story starts. Jimmy is woken up in the middle of the night by the sound of Superman, just his voice.
Yep.
Saying that that he is using his two-way signal watch, which
it's never worked like that before.
Never ever. And so as far as we know, that is not true, but what are you going to do? But Jimmy being being a Jimmy of very little brains, much like Winnie the Pooh, decides that he goes...
Yeah, but Winnie the Pooh isn't always almost getting himself killed.
He goes to see Superman in a junkyard, and,
Winnie the Pooh doesn't follow the voice into a junkyard in the middle of the night.
But he might.
No.
So, Jimmy Olsen goes to the corner of Oak and Maple, where there, I guess, is a junkyard. So, Jimmy says, no, I hope nobody followed you. And he's like, Superman, what's going on? And he says that someone is after him with kryptonite. And he's got this thing called an Ultradyne helmet. And then he's going to give Jimmy a little bit of his strength so that he has his super strength. And then Jimmy, of course, bends an iron bar and lifts up a car.
And so Superman is like, okay, now.
Somebody is after me with kryptonite.
Yep.
And Jimmy is like, who? Like, what supervillain is it? And he's like, well, it's someone you and I know well, this man. And it's Clark Kent. And he holds up. Go ahead. Please feel free.
I have a problem with it.
Go ahead.
this. Okay. 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 So Superman.
Sure.
Holds up a picture of Clark Kent.
Sure.
From the exact...
Wait. Mild Manor Metropolitan Newspaper.
So, he holds up the picture of the person
mm-hmm.
from the exact same angle.
Yes.
Making the exact same face.
Yes.
The... Literally, the only two differences are Clark Kent's hair is slicked back and Superman's hair is doing the little thing with the curly swirly-do in the front.
Right.
And Clark Kent is wearing glasses.
Right.
Jimmy knows both people exceptionally well.
Sure.
Why the hell can he not see that they look exactly alike?
I don't know. I don't think, and that is like a conundrum that Siegel and Schuster never really counted on.
Does everyone in Metropolis just have face blindness?
I think they do. That must be it. I'm not sure why. So he's he said that, you know, Clark basically has secretly contacted the underworld, and he's like, what proof do you have? He's like, I've got plenty. And he's spotted with, he's got like all, he's seen all these things and a written promise of $1 million if Clark delivers me and the helmet to the crime syndicate. And so Jimmy is like, he is a little stunned, but then what you find out.
Jimmy goes back to his apartment.
Right, Jimmy goes back to his apartment. And
Superman suddenly has a cigarette in his mouth.
And you find out that he is actually Houdini Watson.
Who has had facial reconstruction surgery.
To look exactly like Superman. Now, actually, I would say that the artist did draw him slightly differently. I think his chin is just a little bit
bigger. The chin is slightly different.
The chin is slightly
Ever
different
so
than
slightly.
Superman's. Which is probably why I didn't detect that when he held up the Clark Kent picture. So, but
they still look almost exactly the same. They even have the same markings for their cheekbones.
But Houdini Watson's just sitting around smoking, and he shows that he made a papier-mâché car wreck
and a rubber and
iron thing to show that to kind of dupe Jimmy. And he's like, so.
And Dad now just wants a picture of just Superman smoking.
I do. I'm going to put it out.
You're just going to put that up on all the Facebook.
I am. I'm going to put this across the Other Pals Pod social media. Just this one like cropping of Superman smoking.
Yep.
Also
Houdini Watson's hairline is slightly different.
It's very, very subtle, but it is different.
Like you can tell.
Yeah. Like, but just by looking at him, I'd be like, all right, well, he's a little different. I have to say I am wearing a hat.
Yes.
I'm taking off my hat as best I can to Kurt Swan, the artist, for drawing subtly different enough that we could look at it and be like, yeah, I get it.
Okay. So now what they've done at this point is they're trying to set up Clark to make him look like he's trying to kill Superman. So they take phospholuminescent powder or bioluminescent powder, something luminescent powder. They go to the laundromat, not the laundry, the dry cleaners. And they sprinkle it inside of Clark Kent's coat pocket because they find the ticket that says Clark Kent, mild man reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
The reason why they're doing all of this is because the plastic surgery office has a coded list of criminals whose faces have changed. And Clark has that list.
Clark have that list? He literally does nothing.
He's just a mild mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. So yeah, they put this thing in there. They're gonna like, we're gonna show Jimmy that he has the kryptonite. We're gonna put this this glow dust in his pocket. Puts it in his pocket. Jimmy goes with Clark Kent into a dark room because, as we all know, reporters always take photos. There's no such thing as a photographer reporter. And so he sees the glowing, and he's like, I can't believe it. Now, why Jimmy didn't ask, hey, Clark, why is your jacket glowing?
Or why didn't Clark look down and be like, why is my jacket glowing?
Right. So why that didn't happen, we don't know. But so today is the arrival. So the anniversary of Superman's arrival in Metropolis. I guess not to be confused with Superman's birthday. Do you know when Superman's birthday is?
No.
February 29th.
Okay.
He was born in the leap year.
Oh, cool.
Well, he wasn't actually
born. Did
they
have those in Krypton?
He has chosen that as his birthday.
Do they have those in Krypton?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't get into the, you know who else was born on the, who else in the DC universe is born on the same day? Shazam.
That makes sense.
I guess. I don't know. So
Shazam's age is always tricky, so why wouldn't they just make it even more convoluted?
Exactly. So he's like, hey, they're going to cinch up that Clark guilty by putting fake kryptonite into a cake.
And then say it's from Clark Kent.
Right. So they deliver this really weird looking cake. This like flat...
Looks like a giant wedding cake, but someone like got squished. The proportions wrong.
Right. Right. It's like a flat two-tiered cake.
Like someone stretched it.
Right. And so Jimmy reaches in, finds the...
Okay, why would Jimmy just reach into a cake?
Oh, that's because Superman called Jimmy on the phone to warn him.
That makes sense.
So he reaches in, he gets out the...
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
He gets out the thing, and then Superman's like, hey, that's a nice cake. Is it in Superman's armor?
You mean Clark Kent.
Clark says, hey, who sent that nice cake? And why they sent it to Clark Kent, we'll never know. Mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
And Jimmy's like, you wouldn't know Clark Kent.
So Clark also then spots that a train is about to be derailed.
And so goes over to save the train from being derailed.
And while he's being derailed, he grabs the letter from Clark's desk and brings it
to the fake Superman.
To the fake Superman.
Who then reveals that he is the fake Superman.
Well, it says, hey, you can't be Superman. And he tried to get rid of the kryptonite from before, and he's not on. And so he's like, hey, you can't be Superman. And then Houdini Watson's friend jumps out and pops him one and then gets into a car.
And Jimmy's making the stupidest face here.
Where he can't believe that he has fallen for this. So they go to get Superman. I'm sorry, they go to get Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. And so they're
making Jimmy drive the car at
right.
this point.
So they're trying to connect with Clark. Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
Yep.
And Jimmy gets him in the car, and then they all Houdini Watson and his buddy shows up, and they're like, okay, we're going for a ride. As we all know from every movie made in the 50s, that means we're going to take you somewhere to kill you.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
But on the way, he drives by a corner, and Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper, is in the back, and he can't do anything because then he would let on that he's Superman.
Yeah.
And so what he does is what does he do?
He laser visions the gas tank when Jimmy tries to drive over the broken glass to puncture the gas tank.
Now, why the gas tank doesn't explode, we'll never know. But Jimmy thinks that he punctured it by running over some stuff.
Which will keep suspicion away from Clark Kent.
Right.
But so they crash, basically, in the middle of an intersection. And then Superman gets out of the car and the cops are coming. And they're like, stop right there. And he's like, wait, no, I'm Superman. I'm off to some very official, important business. And they're like, no, you're not. Superman would fly. So they arrest him on the spot.
Right.
And then... happily ever after.
Right. And then once again, in the very end...
Oh, and the list of criminals has been saved.
Right. And then in the very end, Jimmy Olsen is, you know, has the whole like, oh, how could anybody think that you're Superman? That's crazy.
Because he thinks he has real kryptonite
right.
with him.
But it doesn't matter. The end. So then we get to the last four. The first one is a very familiar refrain.
Stamps!
All about the stamps. The philatelic world stamp guide, map guide to stamps. Here are some stamps.
Stamps!
Here's some 30 much-wanted foreign stamps.
Foreign stamps!
Get a world map, stamp finder, and an encyclopedia of stamp-issuing countries.
Identify even the strangest stamps!
Stamps
so
and stamps and stamps.
We should have put stamps in the prize pack.
Maybe, but we're not. All right, then.
This is kind of a sad
The next one, yes, is a new fun way to get a Daisy air rifle for your birthday. So basically, it's, hey, kids.
For a gun for your birthday.
We have figured out all kinds of things, all kinds of ways for you.
To ask for a gun for
right.
your birthday.
In fact, you can send this one. You can send, they actually print out little cards for you to get. One being my birthday song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Insert name here.
Insert name here. Here's a daisy for you. And then it shows all the daisies, and then you mark which one you want, and then your friends buy it for you.
That's sad.
And then there's a picture of a dad.
That makes me even more sad.
He's like, happy birthday, eh?
Insert your name
here. Thanks, Dad. And He's like, here's my Daisy. You can buy it here. Like, basically, they're like, this is the one I want. This is where you can buy it. Dad, I need an air rifle.
Dad, I need a gun.
There are way too many birds in my life. I need to shoot them off of wires. There are too many squirrels. I've got to take them. I've got to put the fear of God into them.
You know, I think the dog would agree with that.
My friends have way too many eyes.
No.
I need to blind them. So then we also have terrific, get terrific prizes.
If you sell seeds.
You sell seeds and you get, I don't know, I like TV. Chemistry set.
Typewriter.
Electronic set.
Sleeping bag with the thing over the head.
Scuba gear.
Tent.
A bugle.
Gun. Ship in a bottle.
A remote controlled boat.
Radio.
A watch. Pup tent.
Plane.
Basketball. Radio.
Raft. Barbecue.
Jigsaw. All this can be yours.
If you just sell seeds.
If you just sell seeds.
All right.
Now
and
the last
finally,
one.
We have our second Daisy birthday ad.
Right. They really want you to get
a gun for your
a
birthday.
A gun for your birthday.
Yeah.
That's what they figured out.
That's just it.
So it's just like, happy birthday to you. And there's like yet another like cutout.
I guess they just don't care enough to figure out what kids actually want.
No, they want BB guns. They totally do.
Did they?
Absolutely. I know I kind of wanted a BB gun as a kid. And that's not even, you know, the 50s. I was born much later.
Uh-huh.
So.
I know.
That then brings us to the end of episode.
30.
Episode 30. I would like to thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Special thanks or special congratulations once again to TARDIS Rider. We will be in touch to try to get information regarding.
How to get you the prize.
How to get you your prize. I would like to thank the Spin Doctors for not suing us yet again. And you know what? This is something I've decided.
Yes.
That our listeners, do what you need to do. Do what you want. I know usually, like, this is where, like, a person, like, begs to, like, do some stuff, to, like, game the system.
Subscribe, do
yeah,
this, that,
I'm not even going to mention those things. Like, do all those things that people are supposed to do to get your podcast on the list so it's a very popular podcast. But you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Anymore or just for this episode?
Maybe anymore.
Okay.
But definitely not for this episode.
Okay.
If you really want to know, you can contact us via Facebook, via Instagram, via Twitter.
Or listen to a previous episode.
Or send us an email.
Or an illuminated parchment.
Otherpalspod@gmail.com. Or an illuminated parchment. Anything you want. But I'm, you know... I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to beg you to help us to game the system. It just seems a little wrong.
Okay.
Do you have anything else?
Support your local roller derby.
Right.
That is the one thing that I am going to ask everyone to do every single time.
Okay. Well, I guess that's fine. Well, you know, it's a nonprofit organization that that actually does good in the community instead of us who just...
Talk into a microphone
about...
1950s.
Superman's pal. So until next time, I am Gary Rowland.
I'm Ella Plum Rowland.
And we will both say a Superman away!